Was it something we said?
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment to make?
Are you talking to me?
Or a bone to pick with us? Why not send us an email to feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com or join our forum at forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com. Or you can just leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/midwestpeace, or follow us on Twitter @midwestpeace. So that's how to contact us. Now let's give you something to contact us about. This week, we give Todd Aiken a break because he's been through a lot. Just kidding. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
The
Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
Process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. Now.
Welcome to episode 40. Now. Today is August 23rd, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
Hey, welcome everybody. This has been a big week in the news. We're going to talk about the same thing that everybody else is talking about, and that would be Todd Aiken. And I had no idea you could fit that many feet into one mouth.
I quibble with your characterization there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really, Jerry.
Bring it, Rob.
Fired up. Yeah, I think I was trying to think of what should we talk about this that hasn't already been talked about. But it seems like the place to start with any discussion about the little foot-mouth disease, was it really a foot-mouth disease? Did he really misspeak?
Yeah.
You know, we have gaffes, and they're always kind of funny. I often think of Obama visiting all 59 states. You know, little oopsies that come out.
Right.
And as we've mentioned in previous episodes, does it possibly betray a true inner feeling, kind of like Obama's "You didn't build that"? Although that's not too much of a surprise. It's kind of consistent with other things he said. Although quite an unfortunate use of words there.
Yeah.
So which you characterized as he just kind of misspoke to remind the listeners of that.
I think he kind of misspoke with the "You didn't build that." But as we mentioned with that Elizabeth Warren quote and his general philosophy, I think he does believe that a strong public role helps private enterprise thrive, and it has a function in there. And as people may get lucky and become millionaires and billionaires, that they owe a certain debt back. I think that's right out of the Obama playbook. So I don't think he would run away from thinking that.
Yeah.
So with this thing, is this another example of
what is this? A window into the true thoughts of a politician, right?
Right, right. So in this case, which is it? Like, where on the gaffe spectrum is it? Like, I think everybody's pretty sure Obama knows how many states there are. So that's over, like, way over on one side of the gaffe spectrum. And then you have this. Like, was he really just speaking about what he believed in, and he forgot he was speaking in public?
Yeah. Or did he think like that? You know, the audience for this particular interview was more narrow than
right. Than that's what I think it was.
Than other interviews might have been. Yeah, I mean, maybe somebody on his campaign should explain to him about this thing called the internet, which means there are no narrow audiences anymore. Everything you say is being said to 7 billion people at the same time.
Right. I did think it was kind of funny. It was on the Jayco Report, which is kind of an awful show.
Right.
I don't know. Like, when it comes on, I'm just like, oh, this guy. And I it's so dry. There's no way I would have possibly tuned into that show when it happened. But it's on the internet.
Yeah.
And you know every interview is poured over by the opposing camp, you know. But that's what I think it was. I mean, this is kind of my radical take on the issue. Is I think he was speaking as if he was speaking to an evangelical base only, and one thing that drives me crazy about the evangelical base is how much they disregard any sort of fact or understanding of anything in favor of faith. Like for me, I hope those two things can kind of live together, the faith and the understanding of the world as it is. I think those they can kind of conflict, and trying to figure all that out is the hard part. But there's a certain crowd out there where they could just sort of go with their gut, go with the little truthiness. And the idea that a woman's body can purge it if God doesn't want it, that's a powerful, strong message that gets no scrutiny with a certain sector of society. And I think that's who he was talking to. He's like, oh, I'll throw these guys a bone. Check this one out. But he forgot he was only talking to talking to everybody and not that segment of the population. And so that's why it's such an interesting topic too, because it's not just a gaffe. It's a insight into a view of at least this guy who's very establishment, and maybe the view of a party. And so it extends out.
Right. Yeah, and the party has definitely washed their hands of him. I mean, they like couldn't get away from him fast enough this week. It's been kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, I don't think it's the view of the party, Rob.
Okay, I don't think so either. But I mean, there's certainly a wing of that party. But that's true for anything. I'm trying to compare it. As I make such radical claims, I try to think of what it looks like on the other side, like the Joe the Plumber spread the wealth around.
Yeah,
comment. You know, again, an unfortunate use of words, but I think if you listen to that whole interview, I think that is what Obama thinks. You know, here's this small businessman. He's complaining about his taxes. Well, he ended up not really being much of a small businessman, was he? But you know, and I think as Obama's talking to him, and you know, I think he portrayed it in an unfortunate soundbite. But I don't think he would run away from the idea that if more people have jobs, more people have businesses, and that the income distribution is less wide, that the country is better. I think that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
So the phrase spread the wealth around is not a great way to term that, but
right. Kind of like the phrase female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. Okay, so let me try a little experiment here. I've got it, you know, his quote here in front of me, but I'm only going to read a portion of it. And tell me, you know, what the reaction would have been if this had been what he said. It seems to me, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be of the rapist and not attacking the child. If
that's
been all he said,
right?
It would not be that different from, you know, every other Republican, basically, that you've heard talk about this topic.
Right, right. Yeah, and it is kind of
middle where he just kind of went off the reservation.
He did.
Yeah, but not all Republicans. I mean, even is Ryan and Romney, or at least one of the two, if not both, support abortion in cases of rape.
I think Romney did. I think Ryan didn't. I think. Man, I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But I think the reason why that question comes out is it kind of pushes it pushes their that viewpoint to a kind of an extreme, and almost to a breaking point, and so that's why it's asked. I mean, I know I was talking to somebody that was mad that all right, I thought they were presenting the idea that it was unfair to ask that question, or that was the liberal media with a gotcha question. Like that's totally standard, you know, kind of interview stuff. And what do you do in that case? You respond with your nice little boring soundbite comment, and it's done. You know, it's just
that's my question about the situation. He's been in office for what, five terms. How does he not have his response down?
Right.
So I think he was, it's like he forgot who he was talking to or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Like he didn't know the cameras were on or something, that he was just talking to Jayco by himself, you know.
Right. Yeah, I read one of the Ann Coulter articles, who I'm obviously no fan of. Not for her politics, but her style, we'll call it. She wears bad shoes. That yeah, she called it the, you know, the mainstream media and gave it all of that, but made the same point in when she wrote her article to get to try to convince him to drop out, was that this is just standard operating practice of the mainstream media, but it's just what happens. It's just normal, kind of the normal course of things. So speaking of liberal media, brings me to my next lovely thought about this whole thing.
Sure.
Is he threw out a couple tweets, some gems of some tweets, such as, donations are pouring in. Thank you for standing up against the liberal elite. Love that.
Right.
And then here's one. I apologize, but the liberal media is trying to make me drop out. Please stand with me tonight by signing my petition.
Fox like, News viewers.
Right.
So that should have been at the end of that quote, right?
Right, right. And who are the main people who have called for him to drop out? Romney, Ryan, the GOP ticket, Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, some GOP senators.
Right.
Like how is that the liberal media? But he still gets away with saying, "Oh, it's the liberal elite that's making me do this." Like, right. Like, and I hear
McCaskey,
I hear the way you guys think. Right? Yeah, and for people who believe that there is a liberal elite and a liberal media problem, this must drive you crazy. Because it serves to water down any claims you make of liberal media. Because the next time you're going to say liberal media, I want to think of Todd Akin thinking that this was the liberal media gotcha question.
It doesn't drive me crazy. I see how you would have liberal outrage over that, but I don't have any outrage over that. I think, what else is he going to say? Right. He's spinning it just like any politician. Oh, they're attacking me. Those people are on a witch hunt, and that liberal media is attacking me. Of course, he's going to say that.
Yeah,
he's
understand.
He's trying to save his.
It's that vast left-wing conspiracy. He has.
What's that?
It's that vast left-wing conspiracy.
Yes, to say that. Right.
Yeah. Well,
but okay. one thing I did see was that Barbara Boxer came out saying, "Where's Romney's outrage on this?" Well, Romney had already asked him to drop out of the race. What more is he supposed to go right. Burn his house down too? What more did she want?
Right, right.
You know, I'm gonna continue to say that there is a liberal bias in most media, and you know this I don't think is. I mean, this is so atrocious that nobody is going to, you know, defend it. So
right.
I don't know that you can legitimately use this as an example of, you know, or as a counterexample.
Right. Well, I'll use it anyway.
Okay. Fair enough.
Never stopped him before. Well, I saw a quote from Obama that, you know, he joked that he must have missed science class that day. And I think by taking it to that level, he's missing a real opportunity to skewer him on a real, you know, take the debate to something meaningful instead of a soundbite.
Right. I think he doesn't want to touch.
So what would he take? Right. I mean, what do you see he's missing out on?
I see he's missing out on, there they go again, ignoring science, ignoring, you know, wanting to limit a woman's rights and ignoring science, just like they're ignoring science on stem cell research and climate change and this and that. That's where you take that. You don't just spout off a soundbite that, because that's not something you learn in science class unless you take some kind of advanced medical course in college. You never talked about this in high school or middle school or grade school science. And if we, well, then it becomes an indictment on the public education or well, I'm sure he didn't go to public school. Maybe he's a private school guy. I don't know, but
I think it just seems
it. You already have a situation where the guy trivialized a very significant event like rape, a dramatic, a terrible event, and then to trivialize it further by making a smart-ass comment. I think you're missing a chance there.
Yeah,
I think it's a. I think one thing that the Obama campaign and Obama himself does very well is picking their battles, and I think sometimes they specifically choose to not engage on things. Sometimes I I disagree with what they choose to engage on, but I think they sit in the back room and they make a calculation and they say, let this one go. And actually what they're really getting out of this whole thing is the distraction. Like I feel like Romney can't even get his campaign started.
Yeah.
Like it's like he's trying to get up and things keep knocking him down. I mean, he'll have the convention, you know, that'll help. Yeah. But, you know, he wants to go on and start talking about the economy and doing his little thing, and like he's thrown off by Paul Ryan Medicare questions, and
he's got
to deal. This is completely in the news cycle.
In the room,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. I will say I thought I had a pretty well tuned media antenna, but when I heard this come out, I thought it would be like a back end of a Rachel Maddow show, you know, kind of a political junkie, kind of outrage. I didn't think it would be kind of front page even here, and I didn't think it would, you know, be the lead story on the NPR. And yeah, I was surprised at how national it got, you know, and get comments from Republican tickets. And I didn't really think it would be a big deal, because a lot of the things conservatives say that outrage me, I'm just used to getting outraged.
I knew this story had legs when I first heard it, because there's just so many facets to it. It's, you know, it's not only the typical politician gaffe. It's an attack on him personally, because, you know, this kind of shows a lack of just fundamental understanding of, you know, not science necessarily, like Jeremy was saying, but, you know, just to say that the female body has ways to try to shut this thing down. I mean, that's like almost an urban legend. You know, it's like something you would learn in grade school or junior high or something, and you just continue to believe it your whole life. You know, because nobody's ever told you any differently.
I think it paints a picture of a small-mindedness.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the whole legitimate rape thing, you know, it's like, where did that come from? Just taking that little phrase out, and obviously people have, and they're just running with it. I'll put a link in the show notes. The Onion has just been merciless this story all week. The first headline I saw was pregnant woman relieved to learn her rape was illegitimate.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, you know, there's so much there. You know, it's like peeling an onion. You just keep finding more and more to be horrified about. And, you know, like I said before, McCaskill has come out and said she wants him to stay in the race. You know, right. Like she's ready to run against this clown, because now she thinks she's got a chance.
And I think what it did also bring out for that race, I mean, actually, I didn't know anything about the Aiken guy. I just know he was like the shoo-in conservative in this district that he's my representative. Woohoo!
Yeah.
But, you know, he was just kind of the huge name that you're just not going to beat. That's all I knew about him. I just knew he was kind of establishment GOP guy that's not very interesting.
Well, see,
so now that this came out, I think people are – I think the guy has obviously said some wacko things in the past. So I think people are kind of interested in learning more about him that they would never be interested in otherwise. So it's got some double-edged sword there.
See, I would not have pegged him as the guy that you couldn't beat. I mean, because he just barely won the primary a couple of
years
ago, right? I mean, he just kind of squeaked by. He was not the favorite to win in the
primary. Indeed.
I forget the other guy's name, but probably not important unless he bails, and then of course the party will appoint that other guy as the candidate.
No, Sarah Palin will swoop in and put Sarah Stillman in there.
She's advocating Stillman to run as an independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Met party. She's going to start her own party, because that's what Mavericks do. You know? Here's another onion story. I misspoke. What I meant to say is, I'm dumb as dog and I am a terrible human being.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I think this Missouri race was, I think, wasn't Claire McCaskill the top Democrat to pick off in the Senate for those up for re-election this year?
Yeah, yeah.
So, now that this race is closer, yeah, we might get some ad money in here.
Yeah, maybe.
Get some ad money in this Missouri state.
Okay, so let's make some predictions here. What's going to happen? Do you think he's going to see the light here in a couple of days and step down, or is he just going to put the gas pedal to the floor and say, let's damn the torpedoes, let's go?
I say he stays in. I think he doesn't really have too much to lose. I mean, he's not a young pup or something that can drop out to spend more time with his family. Right. And then, you know, get some big job in Washington or anything. I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think he's more of a crusader kind of guy. So he just feels like he's on the crusade. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And Unless he takes an absolute nosedive in the polls and the party pressures him to get out, I think he'll stay in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the bottom line. But the thing is, you don't know what kind of pressure the party's putting on him, because that's not going to be in the news, you know.
So how do you think that happens in the real world?
He gets those phone calls on his cell phone at, you know, 8 o'clock at night. And none of us are privy to them.
Hey, it's Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Going to send some dudes over. Break your kneecaps.
That's right. The party has a way of shutting this whole thing down. If you were a legitimate candidate.
Yeah, I wonder how it really works, you know. I mean, I think for these young up-and-comers, I mean, they play a little Congress, and they're really aiming for the big lobbying career. And so I think that's what the party holds over their heads. But I don't know. Maybe you can't take down the Aiken. Maybe he just thinks it's God's will that he says stupid things.
Well, I thought they said they already pulled, was it like $1.5 million of support?
Who's there?
His party, the Republican Party.
Well, I know one of his one of the St. Louis businesses, Emerson Electric, is one of his biggest contributors. They pulled their support.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find it, but I'm pretty sure it said the Republican Party already pulled some of their support.
It's all working out according to plan. Yes, yes.
We'll see. So, I don't know how you recover from this. Like, how does he respond? Like a month from now, when this comes up again.
Right, or will anybody care? Will they be like, oh yeah, he's the legitimate rape guy?
Yeah, he's a legitimate rape candidate. Damn.
I heard of him.
That. And, you know, McCaskill is not going to let this go. She's just going to keep hammering on it.
Well, right, because I think if you're going to fight the pro-life, pro-choice issue, you want to try to grab that middle ground, I think. Because all the people who have already decided, and those middle people will get a little freaked out by comments like this.
I think this will scare anybody away that had already decided.
Maybe. Like I say, for somebody like me, I think if you're just Joe Schmo Republican, you're so mad at Democrats. I mean, you may be inspired. I think the only reason, how about this? The only reason you would vote for Aiken is if you're an evangelical guy or you just vote Republican. Those are the two options.
Yeah.
So if you're
go finish.
I just mean he's not a special guy.
Well, he's in favor of privatizing Social Security. That's one of his big claims.
But that's why he doesn't have any claims.
It's too bad he's never going to get a chance to talk about any of that.
Well, maybe not. But you know, a lot of people are saying, okay, I don't really care about abortion either way. I like this about him. He's against a minimum wage, and he's what are the three things on his commercials? Social Security, minimum wage. There's one other thing.
But repeal Obamacare.
No, actually, it's not that. But yeah, I'm sure he is. But that's not one of the three they mentioned. But if you care about those things, you don't care about abortion. It's fine. You know, I don't care about that. I'll vote for him anyway because, one, I don't care about that, and two, it's just because he thinks that doesn't mean there's enough support to do anything about it.
Yeah, maybe it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think probably the biggest thing that matters is it's just one more week of Romney not running the show.
So, interesting that you say maybe it doesn't matter, because maybe you're right, maybe it doesn't matter. And good Lord, what does that say about the party and our electorate, you know? Like, somebody makes this comment, and in the end, it just doesn't matter. Don't react to it at all. They just do what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
I think that's astounding.
Oh, you could even take it to extremes. Like think of how bad this one is, and then just invent in your mind, please don't speak out loud, more outrageous things that someone could say, and try to push it. How far would it have to go to get some people you know to not vote for that person?
Right. It's like, well, Hitler did nothing wrong.
Right.
You know, does it have to go that far before people start questioning, maybe I shouldn't vote for this guy?
Right. Yeah, and I think for me, what makes me the most likely to not vote Democrat if I don't have a real strong feeling is if the Democrat I have to vote for is just hurting us. You know, just hurting us as a party. I mean, I don't care about the country. if he's putting a bad name on everything we're trying to do by screwing up everything,
then
I'd rather have him not in there and with the other guy in there.
Yeah, well, isn't that what we're talking about here?
I mean, right.
Hasn't he done, I won't say irreparable because people have a short memory, but he has done grave harm to the Republican Party.
Right.
I think. I mean, he's a flag bearer of sorts, and for him to say something like this, it reflects poorly on the entire party. And,
yeah, it does, even though...
And it's hard to... It's,
even though they've come out against him. And,
well, yeah, and some of them, you know, I would understand, but like Romney and Ryan, when they first made their comments distancing themselves from him and condemning his remark, it's like, okay, you guys have to do that because you're running for president, you know. It's like, what else are you going to say? But it is good to see some of the other, the other characters within the Republican Party coming out and condemning what he said. I guess I would just like to see more of that, and until, you know, he finally just comes to his senses and steps down.
What do you mean more of that, though? Who, I mean, how many, what's the magic?
I don't know.
What's the satisfactory mea culpa?
For me personally?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be satisfied until he dropped out of the race. Said okay, I'm done. I just, you know, but I'm not going to vote for him or his opponent anyway. You know, from an election standpoint, it makes no difference at all to me. It's just I don't want idiots running for public office, and this guy
I agree.
Is an idiot.
I agree with that.
Yay, we but, agree.
all right.
There's a couple of quick things there on NPR.org. Rob, would you give me some
applause? Hey, all right.
Yeah.
And I quote, Aiken, who is running against incumbent Senator Claire McCaskill, lost the backing and financial support of his Republican Party. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So
there you have it.
There you go.
There you have it. And I would like to investigate, remember the representative who was afraid Guam was going to tip over?
That's Hank Johnson.
Did he run again, or is this because that, while not as inflammatory as rape, certainly as small-minded,
qualifies him as an idiot.
Yes.
Yes. Can we put my video game in the show notes?
Absolutely.
I am the creator of Hank Johnson, Guam Commander. Famous free video game you can play on the web where you must deploy the Marines on the island of Guam without getting it to tip over.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah, I was following his campaign there for a while because I was interested to see what happened, but now I can't remember what happened.
So he did run.
But it does. Like that one is a little bit like this. Like, it doesn't have any malice. in what he said, but you have to think of like how much he's getting paid and how much of a system is around him for him to make even small decisions, and his mind isn't functioning. You know, it's just,
where's the malice in Aiken's comment?
Oh, I think some people perceive a malice, an ill intent.
Oh, I think there's malice. I mean, at least to the extent that he thinks he knows better than the women who
right.
be in that situation. And so, I mean, there's kind of an assumption on his part that, you know, they're making the wrong choice.
It's an implicit blame. That's what I thought was kind of the most stomach churning. It's like, man, if you get raped and you end up getting pregnant, well, I guess I guess it wasn't legitimate, or I guess your body didn't produce the magic superhero sperm intolerant maker, you know. Right. And if your body can't do it, well, I guess you deserve this baby.
Right.
You know?
It's God's will that you be pregnant.
Right.
Well,
I don't understand why it's significant whether it happens a little, hardly ever, or a lot. I don't get the distinction there on his part. As if, well, I'd reconsider this if it happened 70% of the time if they got pregnant.
Right. But, well, what I think he botched there was the part of the, if I understand it right, the part of the standard serve and volley approach to this sort of question is you deflect it by basically claiming that it's a minority of cases, and you know we should focus on the other things and catching the rapist, and you know that's the standard playbook response, and that's why he said it's not very common, is because he basically screwed it up, kind of like Palin used to do, like when Palin had some kind of awesome kind of responses, you could almost see like the clockwork behind it, like she had all the little parts together. But she couldn't put it together to build a watch. So out came like all these little clock pieces. And so it was great to hear her like in the debates and things, because you could almost hear how she was prepped. And this is mm-hmm. that's why he said the thing about the not very often, because the part of the standard response to that question is you claim that it's almost a side issue because you know, the percentage of abortions per year that are caused by rape and incest, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, on some level, I agree with that argument. That
right. He just screwed it all up.
Yeah. I mean, it's you have to decide whether you believe abortion is murder or not. And, you know, when you've made that decision, then all these other special cases are easy to address, right? It's like, well, okay, I'm not going to murder a fetus to resolve a pregnancy that resulted from rape or incest.
Right.
And I think that's what he was trying to say, and, you know, just completely stumbled over his own words and, you know, came out with that. All right. Well, we're going
to take a
break, and when we come back, couple of listener comments, so stay with us. Are back. We have a couple of comments to cover here, but I will let Jeremy go first, because I think he had one or two from last episode.
All right. Number one, Jerry, this is at you.
Okay.
You're talking about Paul Ryan, and you made the comment that, well, senior citizens don't like him because he wants to get rid of Medicare.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to get rid of Medicare, at least not for senior citizens who are on it right now.
Yeah.
So the fact that they don't like him because of that is because somebody is misrepresenting what he wants to do. If people
it's the liberal media, right?
Yes, precisely. And the Obama administration, who's trying to scare old people just like Al Gore tried to do.
Yeah.
With the prescription drugs. And so, if anybody should be afraid of his Medicare plan, it should be people who are not in it yet, but will be soon.
I was just thinking the Al Gore, the SNL sketch of the Bush-Gore debate. The old woman who had I don't even remember all, she had her leg amputated or something, and her medical bills are staggering.
Yeah, you'll have to put that clip in the show notes. All right, number two, Rob.
Oh.
He made the comment about Romney and being vague about, he was trying to distance himself from Paul Ryan's plans and his budget plan, and he was just being vague to get elected. Yes,
right.
That's what politicians do.
But that's not what Paul Ryan does.
They're all going to create jobs. They're going to they're going to balance the budget in 4 years. They're going to cut the deficit. And don't say how they're going to do any of that. Being vague is what gets you in office.
That's true, but I mean, it's not a new tactic that Romney's pulling off. But that's why Paul Ryan gets a lot of cred, if he gets any cred at all. It's because he actually does try to spell things out at least in some amount of detail.
Right.
And he's willing to engage on what the pros and cons of what that would do.
Yes.
I don't think Romney's willing to engage on anything.
Oh. And that, how is that different from, say, any other campaign, any other president?
That's why I kind of wanted to see the Obama-Romney debate. I mean, I'm sorry, the Obama-Ryan debate. Man, I'd pop popcorn.
Okay,
for that
but
one.
How is that different from any answer what I'm asking?
No, I want to just say my own words.
Exactly. I know.
No, it's not different.
Moving on, number three.
It's not different. It's standard politics, but I can still call him out for it.
Thought it was pretty funny that Rob mentioned people blindly following what their party says.
Uh-oh.
Is, you know, how can they do that? And that's the problem. Well, Rob, I think you do that. More than you're willing to admit.
It hurts. It hurts inside because it's true.
I'm sure it doesn't. I was laughing. I was laughing when you said that. I thought, I can't believe he's really preaching this because that's if Ken were on here, he would have called you a wanker again.
I'll just let my comments fly out there. Let them fly. I did think about that a little bit more, but I want to go ahead and let them stick.
All right.
And we could have an episode.
Thing,
all right, go.
Okay. We emailed about this, but last week we were talking about Paul Ryan being an Ayn Rand follower and how it seemed like there was a lot of energy there from Rob and maybe even from Jerry too, that, wow, you know, people might want to look into this and, you know, realize what that means. But yet when Barack Obama was characterized as a Jeremiah Wright follower, well, that was just a witch hunt. You know, it doesn't matter. He was just his pastor, and so what if he went to his church? He's not a follower. He's not a disciple, and you're just looking for problems. Come on.
I would be happy to spend as much time in this campaign talking about Ayn Rand and Paul Ryan as we did about Jeremiah Wright, because you even remember Jeremiah Wright's name. So we did a lot of talking about it, so I would be happy to have such a discussion. Actually, I don't know what the big deal is. You know, embrace the Rand, not the Rand Corporation, though.
No,
they're evil.
That's not who we're talking about here.
I give up.
Yeah. I am victorious.
Rob dodged another one. No, yep. I think that's a fair question you have, Jeremy. Is you know, we pick and choose, like, depending on who our guy is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I thought the point of this whole podcast was to come to some agreement and come to some realization that that's what goes on And that is not helping. So if people could start saying, yeah, this guy in my party is a hack, and they're delusional about this, and what your guy's saying is good, then we could make some progress. And,
well, okay, a better question would be, does it matter who somebody follows, right? And if the answer is yes, then why does that matter? Does it matter because you're going to alienate voters? Or does it matter because some people that are followed are just dangerous? And
right,
the ideas that they are promoting are dangerous.
I think it. I think it's all of those, really, that you have to be careful who you, who's you know, what company you keep.
Yeah,
and you have to be careful that if this person is a perceived wacko, well, are you promoting their whackball agenda also? Or do you just find them entertaining?
And if they are objectively a whackball, to turn. Like, everybody agrees they're a whackball. Does that not make the candidate a whackball, too, for following them? I mean, you know, I don't know how you can claim to be a follower of somebody that's, you know, that the consensus is they're out there. And
yeah,
you yourself are not out there, too. How do you make that claim?
Right.
It's, I think, it, you know, what defines you as a follower or... Like I listened to Bill Burr, the comedian, and some people would find him foul and vile and every other word and say, how can you do that? Well, just because I think he's funny doesn't mean I share the same beliefs. Of course, that's not quite the same, a comedian versus a pastor or some kind of influence on your life. I don't know.
So, okay, why do we have this system then that puts these people into positions of power and forces us as the voters to worry about who they are following, what ideas they are advocating?
Why do we have the system? Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a fundamental flaw in you know, centralized government, because if you say that you have to have the government in order to keep people in line because you've got bad people out there who are going to, you know, do evil things if you don't, you know, occasionally those evil people, or at least crazy people, are also going to get put into positions of power within that government. And you know, then you've just made the problem worse. Because instead of, you know, that crazy person having influence over just the few people, you know, in their circle of friends or whatever, you've now put them into a position where they have influence over thousands or millions of people.
Yeah, but it's the checks and balances that are there to combat that. Before, you had a king or a queen, and theoretically that one crazy person was in charge of everything.
Yeah, right. And I agree, that's not good.
Yeah.
So
this is a step...
This is moderately better than that.
I would say more than moderately, but...
No.
But we're going to...
No.
We're regressing to moderately better than that. I think initially it was way better than that.
Well, I think the dream was that it would be way better than that. And we lost that a long, long time ago. I would say the Whiskey Rebellion.
Okay. I didn't put a pin in it, so.
All right, well, maybe we'll cover that in more depth in another episode.
Can we have whiskey while we do it?
Absolutely.
Why not? I'm having it right now.
Talking. All right. I think that about wraps it up. Thank everybody for listening. Keep those comments coming. We appreciate it. And we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Jim, let me tell you about a friend of mine. Her name is Etta Munson. She's 94. She's a widow living on Social Security in Sparta, Tennessee. Etta was born with only one kidney. She also suffers from polio, spinal meningitis, lung, liver, and pancreatic cancer. an enlarged heart, diabetes, and a rare form of cystic acne. Now, several recent strokes, along with an unfortunate shark attack, have left her paralyzed and missing her right leg under the knee. Just last week, she awoke from a coma to find that due to a hospital mix-up, her left arm had been amputated, infected with syphilis, and then reattached.
Mr. Vice President, we are short of time.
As you can imagine, Jim, Etta's prescription drug bills are staggering. They run to nearly $113 million a day. And she tells me that some weeks she has to choose between eating or treating her Lyme disease. Now, under my plan, Etta's prescription drugs would be covered. Under my opponent's plan, her house would be burned to the ground. And that is wrong. That is just wrong.
Governor Bush, response?
I believe that some of his figures may be inaccurate.